Welcome to the Summit Church Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit summitsanmarcos.com.
Fantastic. Such a joy to be here to share. And this is Missions Month, and the title of my message this morning is called The Great Commission, Our Mission. And as we're talking and beginning Missions Month and highlighting world missions, I really want to get to the heart of the matter, because that's where it begins, in the heart. And what is the heart of missions? That's really important, and I believe we need to know and capture that so we can reflect that right. And I believe it's two-part. It's an inward heart attitude, and it's our outward actions. It's both. And so the first thing I would like to say is the Great Commission, our mission, is that we have a great commandment to love. That's where this all begins. That's the heart of the matter, is love. And we see in Matthew 22, 37 through 39, it says this. Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." When Jesus was asked what was the greatest commandment by the scribes and the Pharisees, this was his answer. So this is the most and the core part of this. But when we see it, we see a picture of the cross, because our vertical love towards Christ, it's our passion towards Christ. But then we have a horizontal crossbar, and that is our love to our neighbor. That's the compassion of Christ at work. And you know what? Without both, you don't have the cross. You don't have the cross without both a love for God, it's first, and then love for people. The second part is that we have a great commission to go. And you see that God always looks at the heart before he tells us to do anything, right? Because if our heart isn't right, it doesn't matter that we go. And so let's take a look at this, the great commission to go. Matthew 28, 18 through 20 says this, "And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, 'All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.'" What a beautiful promise that we have, that when we go to disciple nations, that Christ is with us every step of the way. You know, that is so important. And that's even where we get the word commission. Co means together and partner. Mission is a purpose. We're on a mission with Christ. We're not alone. He goes with us. I remember one time I received a prophetic word that said, "I see you going into very dark and dangerous places, very remote places, but God is with you and he sends his angels to protect you." And I've been into some crazy places over time. I remember one time I was with Dan O'Dash and we were in Uganda and we got in a truck and we went to it felt like the uttermost parts of the earth. We were so far into the jungle, and they had never seen a white person before. They kept looking at us, calling Mazunga, and we were shocking to them. We even sometimes scared the children, you know, with our horrifying faces or whatever. But I'm saying that even in that very remote place, I knew that God had promised he was with me. His angels were there to protect me. There was another time that we ministered in Brazil, and we were able to go into the favelas. The favelas are kind of the slum area of Brazil, and they have a lot of homeless. They have a lot of prostitution, a lot of drugs. And in fact, the police don't even go into the favelas. It's too dangerous. At the bottom of the favela is a person with a machine gun protecting, right? And yet we had the favor of a local pastor, and he said, come, I'll bring you in. And we got to go into the favelas, climb through it, and, you know, during it, we saw raw sewage going down the road, this and that. There was prostitutes. There was young children. And you know what? When we went in there, we shared Christ. And can I tell you, the children ran to us, and we got to share Christ, and we gave out tracts and coloring books about Jesus, and we shared with the prostitutes and the drug addicts. And, you know, there was no fear. I remember Cassie was there. She was walking through the favelas and dancing and stuff like that. But there was no fear. Because why? Because Christ is with us. When you go with him, there is no fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. You know, the great commandment to love and the great commission to go are so intertwined. And, you know, it's the only way that the Lord's Prayer is going to be done here on earth as it is in heaven, is if we do that. I love what Mel Torrey says. He says, let Christ's last words become your first priority. And his last words are the Great Commission. Jesus told us to love. If you love like that great commandment, you're going to go. It's just like a natural overflow. You can't help but go and speak about him. And so when our hearts align with God, we're going to care about what he cares most about, right? When you're in harmony with him, you're going to care for what he cares about. Guess what he cares about? People. He cares about you. He cares about others. He cares about the lost. So taking our redemption that we have found and sharing it with others so they can also experience it is so important. You see, as we're talking about world missions, and we're going to share about some upcoming trips, but can I say a mission trip in and of itself isn't necessarily righteous? Because even the Pharisees and the scribes did mission trips. In Matthew 23:15, it says this, woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you travel land and sea to win one proselyte, and when he's won, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you yourselves. Whoa, what a rebuke. Okay, so just because you go on a mission doesn't necessarily mean you have the right message, okay? I mean, even cults, the Mormons, they do mission trips. You have to have the right message, the right Savior, the right gospel, right, and the right heart in order for missions to be effective. Do I have an amen for that? Come on. And guess what? You have the right message. You have the right Savior. You have the right heart. And I believe you have the compassion to go. Recently, you've probably seen it, Kanye gave his heart to Christ, and he came out with a gospel album. Woohoo! I think we need to have some part of that in our Christmas choir. I'm just asking for it. But anyway, let me tell you, he lived a very sinful life, and some people don't even believe it's a true conversion. I do. I do believe it's true. You know, he said that he was addicted to pornography from age 5. And from that point on, he looked through that lens and everything in life, and he suffered from much addiction. But when he found Christ, the Son of God who set him free indeed, and now he's talking about it. Come on. He's telling the world. He's inviting others to come during his concerts. He's having huge altar calls, bigger than this, way bigger. Hey, you know what? He has a bigger platform, but that does not negate your responsibility to share the gospel. Your platform might not be stadiums, but let me tell you, you have a platform. You have a workplace. You have a family. You have a job. You have, if you're a student, classmates, right? You have a place that's your platform. You have a sphere of influence that nobody else has. You're going to touch lives that Kanye never will reach, right? People in your sphere. So, you know what? What if you're in the education field? Shine your light. What if you're in government? Wouldn't that be a novel thought? Shine your light, right? Come on. Every place. Business. We need people with integrity. Business people that have integrity. Entrepreneurs with ideas that are job providers, right? Shine your light. Let your light so shine before media and entertainment. Well, that's what Kanye's doing right now. But there's others. There's room for more. So I'm saying, whatever your gifting, your calling, your talents, use it for the glory of God. Amen. And shine your light. You have a great light inside of you. Just as Daniel saw the vision of the lamp lighting, it reminded me of also of the Lord of the Rings, where they light the lamp, light the lamp, light the lamp, and the word goes through, right? It's one of my favorite movies. But anyway, the point is, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you. No, they're going to glorify God in heaven. It's not about you. It's about him to the glory of God. Amen. Hide it under a bushel. No, you weren't loud enough. Come on. Let your light shine. Hide it under a bushel. No. I'm going to let it. Come on, shine, people. You have the great and glorious gospel inside of you. God has elevated you to a platform. So glorify him through that, whatever it is. I saw Zach Linsner here earlier. Where are you? There you are, young man. He's over here praising God. God's done a wonderful work of redemption in his life. His test is becoming a testimony. Oh, the devil's going to be sorry. He's going to be so sorry when this young man starts shining the light of Christ. Let me tell you, no stopping him. Come on. When God baptizes you with boldness, when you have a testimony that you overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony, the devil fears that because that's a true overcomer. An overcomer has to overcome something. You're not just born like, oh, yeah, you're successful. No, sometimes we have to overcome the deep pits of hell itself. But you know what? When you do, you know you have a Savior. Man, when I was hearing that songs today, I was just weeping about the faithfulness of God. Man, I've called on the Lord in times, and I was reminding God of his promises. That's what the Bible says. Put me in remembrance of the promises. And I kept saying to God, I was in a situation, God, you're faithful. God, you're a covenant keeper. God, you promised me. I kept, you know, like that, like the unjust judge. I kept in God's face about my promises. And I stand here today saying, God is absolutely faithful. And I'm singing and weeping at the same time because of his faithfulness. So I say, hang on to the promises that God has given you. Declare them because you have a faithful God. His name is faithful and true. He's not going to drop you, and he's not going to let you down. So remind him. Okay, that was not in the notes. All right. I want to talk about the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. Incorruptible. What a word. Do you know that there's power in seeds? Are you aware of that? I mean, you can plant one and it will break through its hard, you know, core, and it will germinate and it will spring forth, right? So, I mean, even through hard dirt and everything, that seed will sprout. Well, they found, some archaeologists found some pharaoh's tombs. And these were at least, I'm going to say, 3,000 years old, right? And so they bring them out, and you know, a lot of times they were buried with riches and sometimes pets and all different kinds of things. And when they were looking at the archaeologists, they discovered they had some seeds in there. And they were curious, like, wonder what would happen if we plant one, right? So anyway, they planted. It was like a grass seed. Guess what? That thing germinated and grew. A 3,000-year-old seed grew. Dormant. Seemingly unalive. But yet, with the right conditions, it germinated. But can I tell you something? That seed, amazing as that is, will grow up and die, right? It'll fade. The grass fades. But the word of God endures forever. Because this is what it says. 1 Peter 1:23. Having been born again, not of corruptible seed, meaning here and then dissolves, but incorruptible through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Think about that. You have been born again with an incorruptible seed planted in your human heart, and right now you have eternal life. Right now you have eternity in your heart. And let me just say something. This seed will not fade away. It's incorruptible. It'll last forever. And God puts his divine nature in you. Knowing that, knowing the power of the seed, knowing the power of the gospel, do you know what? God wants us to sow the good seed. He wants us to sow the seed, just like the sower and the seed. We need to share about this incorruptible seed. You know what? When I go and share the gospel with people, I think to myself, I could be just planting a seed, or I might be watering a seed that someone else planted, or just adding to the testimony, but it's never in vain when you share the gospel. Never in vain. You know, they commonly say that it takes about 7 times of people being approached by the gospel before they actually receive the gospel. Doesn't happen necessarily the very first time. Sometimes it does, but many times it doesn't. So I say to you that it's your job to sow the seed, and it's God's job with the results. So take the pressure off yourself. Sow the seed, share your faith, and leave the results with God. He's faithful. I believe not only do we have a great commandment to love, we have a great commission to go, but we have great power to be his witnesses. God did not put us on this journey alone. We are not orphans. Can you look at Acts 1:8 with me? This is a scripture. This is what Jesus told his disciples. He said, wait in Jerusalem. Now, as you remember, you know the story that at the cross, they were all scattered. At the cross, they were afraid, except for a few. They were all hiding in a room, and then Jesus walked through the room. Remember? And he demonstrated himself to them, and they were amazed. So they were afraid, and rightfully so. They were afraid for their lives because they were being persecuted. The church was being persecuted. So I'm not blaming them. So Jesus told them, listen, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. He didn't just say, okay, go out and do this. No, he gave them an assignment, and he said, wait for the power to become my witness. They couldn't do it in their own strength, and neither can we. We can't do it in our own strength. It takes the supernatural empowerment of Jesus Christ to make us his witnesses. And this is the difference. This is the difference that it makes in missions. I've known some people over the years. I've known missionaries that have done mission work without the baptism of the Holy Spirit, without the power of God. And I commend them for their amazing heart. But the fact remains, we're not going to be as fruitful as we could if we don't do it in the Spirit of God, that lasting fruit. I believe that the Great Commission increases its impact exponentially when we demonstrate signs, wonders, healings, and miracles, because it announces that the kingdom of God is at hand. It gets people's attention. You know, evangelism has always been a part of my life because probably the way I got saved. And I say that my family was Catholic growing up. I was one of 11. I had 9 brothers and sisters, so big family. But by the time I got to be in, I would say, high school, we quit really going to church almost altogether, except Christmas and Easter. We are CEOs, faithful to that. But nonetheless, I was not born again. None of my siblings or my parents were born again. The entire household wasn't. But one sister came to know that Jesus Christ is her Savior. She had a Baptist friend that brought her to church. She got radically saved, and she started her mission, which, you know, she was believing for household salvation, but none of us wanted it, okay? That's what she was up against. It was rough. We all thought she was in a cult anyway, so we just thought we should maybe put her and get her unbrainwashed, you know, like that's where they were doing back then. So anyway, she started sharing with all of us, and I rejected Christ a lot at the beginning. Didn't want it, didn't feel that I needed it, didn't feel that it was the answer. However, I started going down in a bad way. I started drinking and partying in high school, and I remember along with that came depression, and I started spiraling downhill on that and really became so depressed that I actually wanted to take my life in suicide. And I do remember probably the darkest part of that was when I actually lost hope. I remember when I lost hope, like there was no more hope in my heart. And that was probably the darkest thing I ever went through. And at that point, I felt like probably the best thing for me would be to commit suicide, because I thought, well, my life doesn't really matter that much. I'm 1 of 9 kids, probably was an accident anyway. I don't see a lot of future for me or hope in my future, so I think no one would really mind or care if I took my life. So that's where I was at, and I did actually attempt suicide. And at my lowest period of time, my sister shared with me that I needed Christ. And after rejecting Christ so much, I said, okay, you know, I'll try it, whatever, okay. So she prays with me to receive Christ in my home. And I was in the kitchen, and I received Christ as my Savior. Then I really realized it was real, it was true. Like when Jesus came into my life, I started weeping and crying, and the thoughts of suicide left me, and I felt such joy. And it was supernatural. And I said, wow, this is real. This is so real. But then I started crying, and I said, you know, I'm afraid I won't be able to hang on to this. I'm afraid peer pressure or my habits, that I won't be able to keep what I found, and I know it's real. She said, well, do you know what would help you to know Jesus better and will help you? I said, what? She said, you need the baptism in the Holy Spirit. I said, okay, I'll take that. So ask and you shall receive, seek and you'll find, knock and the door shall be open, for everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. So I asked for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now remember, I'm 5 minutes saved, heathen Catholic here, never been in a Pentecostal church whatsoever, and all of a sudden I feel the electricity of God go through my arm, shoot through my arm and into my body, and I started speaking in tongues. Nobody told me how to do that. Nobody modeled that for me. It was a supernatural baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire. And you know what? Wow, what a difference. So now I'm a 5 minutes old Christian. Yay. And so wondering, what do I do now? You know, I said, what do I do? She said, well, first thing you need to do is you need to tell somebody that you're saved, that you just gave your heart to Christ. I said, I'm going to do that. So I thought the best person I could tell is probably my best friend, Jill. I need to really share this good news with her. So I called her and said, Jill, you'll never believe what happened to me. I got saved. I'm born again. I'm a Christian. And she said, oh, that's good, Treen. And she said, I'm a Christian. My joy turned to anger. I said, what? You're a Christian? And you're my best friend? And you never told me? I was mad. I could have died. Didn't you care? I felt like she had the cure and she didn't share it. Like she had the anti-venom and I was dying, you know? And of course I made her feel bad, of course, about that. But but to her credit, she didn't have the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Though she was saved, she didn't have the power to become his witness. And I shared with her about the baptism in the Holy Spirit. She got filled with the Spirit. Believe me, there's been no stopping her since. She is in ministry today. She's won thousands of souls. And you know, it started in our own high school. We saw a revival in our high school. We did. We saw Jill and I were both cheerleaders. We saw the cheerleaders get saved. The football players got saved from the cheerleaders. We had Friday night, instead of Friday night parties like what was normal at that point, we had Friday night prayer meetings. Joining together, we'd go in people's homes, a big old group of us praying. The revival spilled into the school. They actually gave us a special room and assigned a teacher to be over our Bible study. Is that amazing? And let me tell you, so many people gave their hearts to Jesus Christ during that time. And I say all that to say that Jesus wants to give you the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He wants to fill you with Holy Ghost boldness that is not your natural personality. It was not my natural personality. I was very shy, and I'm not kidding. I had to give speeches in high school and public speaking, and I hated it. I was about to faint when I had to go up there. I got all wobbly and weak, and I barely made it through. It was the worst experience of my life. But after I got filled with the Holy Spirit, then I started looking for opportunities to share. I had another chance to have a public speaking class in college. And this time, I was saved and I was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was asking myself, what could I speak about? How can I share Christ? And the assignment was, write about some controversial subject, okay? Oh, you think you know where I'm going with this, okay? So I decided I'm going to talk about suicide. I think that's fairly controversial, right? So I shared about that. It gave me an opportunity to give my testimony in my college class among all these. And this is a public university in Florida. And so I shared. And at the end, the classmates are able to ask you questions, right? So one person was like a little belligerent, raised his hand and said, I don't believe that. I don't believe Jesus is the answer to suicide. I said, well, it worked for me. That's about all my response. What do you say? You know, argue with experience. It was my testimony. You know, I got back my speech paper and the professor gave me a grade, A++. Then he put an angel with a halo on it. It obviously ministered to someone, if it was my teacher. So I'm just saying, you know, God wants to give you the Holy Ghost boldness. He wants to empower you to be his witness. And you know what? Your life is going to affect many people's lives. You know, when you receive that baptism of boldness, that baptism of fire, I believe you're going to change entire families and destinies. It happened to my sister. Wow, she was the Lone Ranger Christian in my family. But since then, every single member is saved. I can say that, including my brother Michael, who last time I shared wasn't saved, got saved. So praise Jesus. So you know what? Let's get the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Let's get emboldened for the gospel. Because when we have the Holy Spirit, it says, this is what Jesus said, his own words, I will pray to the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he will abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, who the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. The Holy Spirit will bring you his presence, his power, his giftings. And I think most importantly, as Christians, he will give you boldness that's not your own. Because he wants to get the word out. He wants you to share your faith with others around you. He wants to make the difference in this world. So this morning, would you please stand? I want to lead you in a prayer. And I had so much, wow, I didn't get to a lot of this. It's okay. It's all good. Pastor Daniel gave you an opportunity earlier this morning to receive Christ as your Savior right before communion. And so I believe you had an opportunity to do that. But I want to give you an opportunity for a fresh baptism in the Holy Spirit, a fresh empowerment. And perhaps maybe you've never received that gift of the Holy Spirit. It's hard to live the Christian life without the Spirit of God helping us. He's the one that produces fruit in our lives. He's the one that has gifts in our life. And he wants to give you that this morning. So I just want to give an opportunity. If you've never received the baptism in the Holy Spirit, we want to pray for you to receive that. But let's just say that you have received that baptism in the Holy Spirit. Even the disciples, they were filled with the Spirit. Acts 2, Acts 4, they were filled again with the Spirit. When they started getting pressed on and persecuted, they said, Lord, see their threats and grant that your servants be given boldness. And guess what? They got refilled again with the Spirit. It's not necessarily one-time experience, though you can probably remember when it happened, but there's additional fillings because we need it as his people. So can you just lift your hands right now? And at the end of the service, the pastors and the mission teams are going to be down here. We want to lay hands on you because sometimes the gift of the Holy Spirit is imparted by the laying on of hands. So Father, thank you. Thank you so much. And the Bible says that you need to ask the Father for the gift of the Holy Spirit, that he's the one that gives good gifts. So right now I'm going to lead you in a prayer. And if you mean it from your heart, I believe the Holy Spirit's going to fill you afresh this morning. So, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I need the person of the Holy Spirit in my life. I need a fresh filling. I need a baptism of boldness. I want to be baptized with the Holy Spirit and fire. I want my life to count for the gospel. I want to win people to Jesus Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation. So Holy Spirit, fill me afresh with a fresh baptism. Thank you. I'm just going to pray for you right now. Father, release it. Release a fresh filling, Father, on your people. We know we can't do it in our own strength and in our own power. We're dependent upon you. But Holy Spirit, you said ask and seek and you'll be found. So I pray for that fresh baptism. I pray even for those who have never spoken other tongues that you would grant them their heavenly prayer language this morning, Father, that you would release gifts this morning. You're a giver of good gifts. I pray for gifts of healing and miracles and tongues and interpretation and words of knowledge and prophecy. Thank you, Father God, for the gifts you freely give to your people, God. Gift of faith. Thank you, God. Gift of wisdom. Gift of revelation. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We thank you for all your gifts. They're all good. So we bless you in the name of Jesus. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Shikarabakariyata rasatare bakashikarabakariya. Shikarabakariyata rasatariya. Shikarabakari. Abakariyata raya shikoraboka sikaraka. Abakariyata rabakariya shikaraba. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We recognize your greatness. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you. You know, when you pray in the Holy Spirit, it says it builds yourself up in your most holy faith. When you pray in the Spirit, it builds you up in your most holy faith. Sometimes we don't know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself prays with intercessions and groanings so deep that they cannot be uttered. He prays the deep things of God. He searches the mind of God, and he prays the will of God. So I encourage you, pray in the Spirit. Pray, build yourself up on your most holy faith. Thank you, Jesus. Abba Kariyashiko.
Thank you for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Be sure to visit summitsanmarcos.com for other exciting content from Summit Church.